So what does the future of podcasting hold? Kind of weird. We're going to talk to Tom Webster on a podcast about podcasting. Check it out. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Tom Webster. He's a writer, speaker, and creator of the Brand Savant blog. He's also the Vice President of Strategy and Marketing for Edison Research. And today we are going to talk about his annual series of studies on podcasting, one of my favorite topics. So Tom, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks. It's going to be a podcast about podcasting.
Pretty meta. Really pretty crazy. So tell me about the series, the study, and I guess a little bit of the methodology and why you do it and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it sprung out of a study that we've been doing since 1998 called The Infinite Dial, which is really, it's developed into the gold standard in a lot of different media measurements in terms of how consumers behave when they're using various types of media. It's, mm-hmm. it's kind of the study of record for things like streaming audio, things like Pandora and Spotify and a whole number of things. And, you know, this year we added things like the whole smart speaker category, like the Amazon Echo and Google Home and things like that. And we added podcasting to it back in 2006. And, you know, since then, it's of course grown, but it's grown in some interesting ways. And the study itself is historically, it's done really to the kind of gold standard methodology that you can do in market research. It's a telephone study, a random, completely random digital sample of Americans 12 plus, and it's half mobile, half landline. So we spend a lot on it to get it right, and so we're always thrilled to be able to put out good results in podcasting and a number of other things.
You know, I imagine back when you started in 2006, you know, half the trouble was finding somebody that knew what podcasting was.
Yeah, and that's really about all we could measure in 2006 was, you know, have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and that was a small percentage of the population. And the percentage that were actually listening to it was kind of unreportable from our standpoint. It really even took the second year for us to start even reporting a percentage. And even then it was so small that we didn't really break anything out of it. The sample was too small. We just said, here's the percent. But it's today, you've read through the slides, it's a fairly mainstream media mm-hmm. behavior now.
Yeah. And from a marketer standpoint, you know, it's no longer just kind of the cutting edge digital people. Pretty much everybody is putting it as a channel that they have to be playing in. You know, what was funny about going back to, I started my podcast in 2005, and going back, just reminiscing on that, it was A, much harder to do than it is today, and yeah. B, really hard for people to listen. I mean, you had to really want to listen to a podcast. You had to download something called a podcatcher, listen to it on your laptop or your desktop. And I mean, we didn't have the smartphone penetration and all the apps, and there wasn't the iTunes, even though the iTunes store came along pretty quickly after that, they didn't make the podcasting app standard, you know, for many years. So, and in fact, I think what happened too was around, you know, 2005, it was kind of the next cool thing after blogging. But then social media came along and kind of tanked it.
Yeah, it's never been the hot thing
until
really just the past couple of years. It just kind of it poked along for a decade.
Yeah, and your slides definitely suggest that. I mean, that you kind of have a little bit of growth, and then it hung around a certain level for like 8-10 years, and then boy, the last 2 years it's really taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has, and I think there's a couple of major things you can point to. You know, number one, you can point to just how frictionless technology is, compared to what it used to be. I mean, as you mentioned, to listen to a podcast before, you had to go through this kind of Rube Goldberg contraption setup, and you didn't even mention the fact that you would then sideload, as it was called then. I love that word, sideload podcasts. It's something called an iPod, which is like a phone that doesn't make calls for you, younger iPhone.
Well, actually, most teenagers can relate to that because they never use their iPhone to make calls either. So.
That's a very good point. So the friction got removed But that alone was not enough to make it grow. It was doomed, I think, to just be kind of a niche medium, even with that. But what really helped accelerate its growth was content and investment. And that's really what we've seen a lot of in the past 2 or 3 years. If there's one thing that's changed in the space over the past 3 years, it's been the amount of money poured into it from all directions. And public media has led the way, certainly, and helped to legitimize the space, which has made advertisers perk up and want to know more about it. And so more is being spent on content and measurement, and now where we are today.
Yeah, I think the entire media category, you know, really all of a sudden said, hey, this is not only a channel, this might be for survival for some of our content. You know, you look at some of the NPRs of the world that are, you know, using it as significant distribution.
Yeah, I mean, we work with NPR, and it has opened up a whole gigantic other audience for them. I think in early days, there was, we wondered whether or not if we put NPR or other public media content on a podcast, does it cannibalize the on-air listening, right? And it turns out not to, really. It turns out that it opens up a whole, specifically younger audience for a lot of this content. And that's really been the story with podcasting is, funny thing about podcasting is the sweet spot demographically is absolutely 18 to 34. It's huge 18 to 34 compared to the other demos, but it's also mostly spoken word content. And the audience for spoken word content in this country, you know, specifically things like talk radio, is much, much older. It's, north of 50.
And is it sort of behavior that is driving that? I mean, I think of the 20-somethings that I hang around with, and it's more that's the device that they have, and that's where they want to consume everything. And so they're not going to go find an FM radio.
No, it's very device-driven. In fact, one of the stats we reported in the Infinite Dial, I think 21% of households report that they don't even have a radio in their house, and it's much higher, 18 to 34. Our friend Mitch Joel talks a lot about the fact that there is no second screen or third screen. There's only the screen in front of you.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that having, ubiquitous, always on broadband Wi-Fi and a supercomputer in your pocket has led to consumption of audio content in places and environment settings where it used to never be consumed. So the size of the pie is much, much larger than it used to be.
And I hear people talking about This American Life and The Moth and shows like that probably had never heard it until they found it on their podcasting device.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, the great thing about the medium now is you've got a lot of experimentation, but it's experimentation that's being funded and supported, which is kind of exposing us all to new content forms. You have a show like S-Town, which is one of the most popular podcasts in the world right now. It took them 3 years to make S-Town. It's 7 hours long, right? It's essentially a short audio book in 7 episodes. Having that kind of investment of time and treasure is not something you could have even imagined 3 years ago.
So you talked about the biggest growth area being 18-34. What about in terms of content? Is it a business driven? Is it entertainment driven, or are we just seeing it kind of across the board?
Well, I think a lot of what you see, especially in the top 100, let's say, on the iTunes charts, which iTunes and the iOS podcast app are responsible for about 60% of the traffic. So a slight majority of it, but not all of it. There's a definite lean to what you see in there. It's a lot of content. Public media dominates it. There's a lot of, I would casually sum it up as highbrow content, right? And that's still going to be the case for a while. There's still very significant leans psychographically with podcast listeners. They tend to be more educated. They tend to have higher incomes. But that's descriptive and not the future. And, the one thing I always tell people when I talk about podcasting is if you look at the top 100 podcasts in the iTunes chart, and then you look at the top 100 rated TV shows in Nielsen, they look nothing alike. And I'm not suggesting that they ever will, but one could look a little more like the other, and I think that's going to be the key to opening up even more success for the medium.
I always like when I go through statistics and slides like that, it's fun to pull ones out that kind of jump out at you. And the number that surprised me was 15% of the people you surveyed claim to listen to 10 plus hours a week of programming.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another product that we have, another study called Share of Ear, which mm-hmm. is kind of a giant online and offline diary of all forms of audio. And an interesting thing about podcast listeners is the average American listens to about 4 hours of audio per day. But the podcast listener listens to about 6 hours of audio per day, 50% more audio in the average day. And, you know, some of that is that they just happen to love audio or they have, you know, more available time to do it in. But I think ultimately the cap on podcasting is more the audience for spoken word programming in general than anything else, which does have a cap. It's not a limitless field, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those 10-plus-hour people are on a train or car commute for 2 hours each way every day.
Yeah, I mean, that plays a huge part of it, and yeah. I think there's still so much more to be done. I mean, our research shows that podcasting has really penetrated the car pretty successfully. I mean, there's more, I would say that there are more podcasts being listened in cars than cars that are natively equipped to handle them, right? People are finding all kinds of ways to listen to podcasts in the car.
Yeah, you can plug your phone in and whatnot. But yeah, that's interesting though, because that's coming, of course. I mean, you know, everyone will have a podcatcher in their car. So, you know, what's that going to do?
Well, I think the interesting thing, and I'm glad you brought this up, John, is that there are frontiers as yet unexplored here.
Right.
And there's a lot of room for different variety of forms. And what I can envision in the not very distant future, in fact, in the very, very near term, is being able to get into my car and having whatever my entertainment system is, whether it's sure. native to my dash or coming from my smartphone, to know that my commute is 26 minutes. Yeah. And for my podcasting client to assemble the perfect 26-minute commute. Maybe it starts with my local weather. Maybe it starts with a little bit of traffic. Yeah. You know, our clients at NPR have just come out with a 10-minute news podcast called Up First, which again is sort of innovating on the form a little bit. Maybe you stick that in there. So I think being able to, you know, aggressively manage what you listen to on your commute and have more and more control over it is another key to real, you know, increasing consumer demand.
Well, yeah, I think Alexa is actually trying to do that, or Amazon is trying to do that with Alexa, that you can get, you can sort of program it to curate, you know, what you want to hear, you know, mm-hmm. as the, you know, hard-boiled eggs are cooking or something. So do people tend to just go out there and find the content that they want to find, or is it more show loyalty? You know, I have my four shows that I always listen to, or is it more, I have this range of topics that I like to dive into and jump around?
Yeah, I mean, there is still, I think, kind of discoverability issues in podcasting,
right.
but, you know, it's mostly driven by word of mouth. But, you know, if you think about your average day, right, how you spend your day or how I spend my day, there's only so many hours a day that I could actually listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
It's a very lean forward medium.
Yeah.
I can't listen to a podcast and work at the same time.
Yeah. I can't I can't run or walk or even, because there's so many things,
you know,
I want to consume. Yeah.
I can't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I live in downtown Boston. I can't listen to any kind of spoken word content and run here or I will die.
Right.
If I I think the secret weapon in podcasting right now is cross promotion. And that's why there are so many public radio, public media podcasts in the top 100, because they have a heavy and active cross-promotion strategy. And it's why F-Town premiered as high as it did, because it was heavily cross-promoted by This American Life and Serial.
Yeah, that's a great point. I see some business people doing that on maybe a much smaller scale, but you know, creating kind of communities of podcasters to promote each other. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, there's no question that networks have a real value in discovery, but I do think a lot of time is spent amongst podcasters talking about how to get their podcast discovered,
mm-hmm.
like how to pull people into discovering
mm-hmm.
their content. And frankly, there's not enough pushing. And what, you know, large podcasters like NPR and Chicago Public Media and WNYC and things like that are proving is that, you know, pushing helps, and promoting outside of our own airwaves or pod waves is really the key to growth.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. If you like this one, you might also like my other podcast, The Consulting Spark, where I interview independent marketing consultants and agency owners, talk about how they built their business and the struggles they face and what they love about being in this business. So you can check it out at ducttapemarketingconsultant.com.
So my next question, you probably just sort of answered, but from all the data, I'll ask you kind of two questions and I'll come back and remind you the second one if you get going too far. But what can brands learn from this study, and then what can podcasters learn from this study?
Sure. Well, I think what brands can learn from this study is that there is a significant portion of the American buying public that is increasingly difficult to reach with traditional advertising. Right. And one of the things that podcast listeners have in common, they're heavy listeners of online radio like Pandora and Spotify, which are either commercial-free or very light on commercials. Mm-hmm. They listen to podcasts, which are very light or have no commercials. Over half of them subscribe to Netflix, which has no commercials. And if you think about all of these hours that this particular demographic of people who are affluent, educated, and heavy buyers are spending with media that does not have traditional advertising, it presents kind of a crisis for brands. So a lot of times when I talk to brands who say, prove to me that podcasting is worth it or not worth it, my response back to them is, how are you going to reach me?
Yeah.
How are you going to reach me? And because your options to do so are increasingly limited.
Yeah.
And then as far as what podcasters can learn, I do think that there's still a lot of innovation in content that can be done. And what got them here is not going to get them there. I think if you have spent your podcasting career trying to optimize for the iTunes charts, in some ways you've created a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think there is plenty of room out there to have even more mainstream content, right? I mean, there's a lot of there are a kind of mystery programming, mysteries and things like that in podcasting, but it's not exactly CSI or Law and Order, that kind of stuff, right? There's plenty of mainstream content that can be done. And I think also there's not, as I mentioned before, there's not a lot that's been done in the format to educate the public, the mainstream public, on what a podcast is and why you'd even bother.
Yeah. I think a lot of the media, is doing more and more of that, but you're right. There are some assumptions that the people that get it, get it. And they, all you have to do is mention we have a podcast.
Yeah, and that's not always the case. And I know a lot of the podcasters I talk to are kind of incredulous when I tell them this, but I do a lot of research in a lot of fields. And I do a bunch of focus groups. I'm sure you've sat in the back rooms of some of them yourself, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to and mentioned the word to, and I've either been told, I don't know what that is, or I've been told, oh, podcasts, I can't listen to those because I don't have an iPhone. I mean, I hear those.
Sure, absolutely.
And when I tell that to other podcasters, they're like, get out of town.
Yep.
But they don't get out of their bubbles very much. Yep. So, getting out of your bubble is a very key insight, I think.
Absolutely. So, Tom, where can people find more on, we've been just very, very high level on this. Where can people find more about this study and about the work that you're doing?
Sure. Well, our main website is edisonresearch.com. And there you can find the podcast Consumer 2017 and the Infinite Dial 2017. And a little bit on, actually the thing that we're best known for is we're the sole providers of the exit polls during American elections, primaries and things. We've done that since 2003. I love telling people that when I speak, I get questions.
Yeah.
as you might imagine. And so there's information on that there as well. And I'm on the Twitter at Webby2001.
All right. Awesome. Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Hopefully it's pouring down rain in Kansas City, Missouri today, and I suspect we sent some of it all the way to Boston. It's been raining here so long.
You have indeed, yeah. it's not been pleasant.
Well, take care. Thanks again for joining us, and hopefully we'll run into you out there on the road soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. I wonder if you could do me a favor. Could you leave an honest review on iTunes? Your ratings and reviews really help, and I promise I read each and every one. Thanks.